The salt leaves the salt when they put it on, makes it too terrible. When they used to wet stuff laying, especially, they used to catch it all because it used to prevailing wind would blow from Codner Park end and blow there, and it never used to rise above a foot from ground, and it used to climb up and wash in that way. That it when they were glazing. But they made a damn good pipe.
Yeah.
But it was banned, and that were it. They went back, they went on to, after they banned the salt, we went on to oil fired instead of coal. And the oil, that were hot, that were used to get, it was really like a crude sort of oil, you know, it was way down.
Yeah.
Down list of oils, but for all that, and they used to be, they could make a, it had to be vitreous, that were like acid resisting.
Yeah.
On a, because it was, what they meant was sewage resisting, but for all that, that's what they could do.
Yeah.
Now, if you see any now, you don't see anything like that. And when they moved from the, when they bought that German self-contained unit finishing up, they weren't even they were in like a red brick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see, when they used to fire, we finished up making 12-inch pipes in that new kiln, because for some reason or other we never had much luck with the smaller ones, and there were some tremendous tip overs with kills. I mean, that was like a continuous kill. But that was they'd fire them from one end to other. They didn't go round.
Yeah.
They went from one end to other. By the time they come out this end, they were finished. But you can't compare them, not with salt grays. It's just like about an eighth of an inch, if that, on a small pipe. But even on a 12 inch, which we finished up making, the barrel of the pipe would probably be 3/4, 7/8 thickness, the clay. And out of that, there'd be probably an eighth of an inch on the outside and the inside where the fire had caught it. And then inside, the core of the pipe, it was like ash. And that's what they reckon's going to compete, you know, an old sewage bank.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll dig many up in 100 years' time and find pipe there. Now we've got these houses here. We've got our own sewage. We're not on mains.
Yeah.
And it's down there, down big house's garden.
Yeah.
That's a septic tank.
Yeah.
Our pipes, of course, this was put down in 1937, and I could take you down now. It travels from here down their garden, straight from that septic tank, goes all the way down to almost at railway, and then there's an open ditch in there, and it runs into that. Then from that ditch, runs into pipes. Take you down there and dig one of them pipes up.
Yeah.
Put hose pipe on it, and it's just the same when it come out at kiln.
Yeah.
You know, 1937. Mm. But you're not to that with these new ones.
No.
You're not doing with plastics either.
No, oh, but, no.
You know, it's,
no.
It's just one of them things that that they've allowed to. The quality's gone. Now, when I went blacksmiths for that last year, just before I joined up, we had to do. We put a tender in and got it, as it happened, for acid wear, what they call, and I don't really know what type of acid it was, but it was something to do with armaments industry, and it were at, we had to go down to Waltham Abbey in London, and the only reason as it were anything to do with the pipes was because they didn't want to waste a journey, so me and lad sat on top of lorry, and Gaffer Jack Ward sat in cab with driver, and that's how we went down to London.
Crikey.
But they took a load of pipes down, these acid ware, and that it was out of this world. You could, if you could find anything, you could sell them for you could sell them for antiques and make a bomb. But it were hoaxes, because we'd got a chemist. Not many pipe yards ran to a chemist, and he were good. A chap named Jones lived up Sedgwick Street, but he came from away. But he was the boy that and this acid ware, well, which we had a little thing, perhaps about 4 or 5 yards square, that they allowed us to place ours, and all the 5 yards that had put in for the same order, the same contract, had put theirs.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, there was no doubt about it. They just took one look at Oates's and that was it. But they used to make ordinary pipes and ordinary fittings, but also they used to make vats, what they call acid vats, and they were a big, somewhat like, well, just the same thing, but like in a street gully, you know, with them big, round bottom street gullies, and different fittings on them for wherever you wanted you, and they'd made a lot of them during. Well, I think that came out of that contract that we went down. But what we went down for in blacksmiths was a chap named Challoner, I think it was, and he was some relation to Odwin Oakes, cousin or something like that.
Yeah.
And he ran his own factory, and he made plasterboard in this factory, and it was way before they even thought about him. When he did any plastering, you did it with either latten and plaster, or ordinary plaster and then skimming and what have you, same as they do today. But where now they use plasterboard, you know, it's like a plaster fastened in with cardboard round sort of thing. This wasn't, it was cardboard on the back, but it was pure plaster on the front. And this chap Challoner, he'd designed that himself. They closed him down during war, because, you know, not to do with war effort. And he came to pipe yard for a little while, and then he joined up himself. In fact, he was so clever, he joined up as a major, and he went in, I think he went into tank recovery or something like that. He joined up as a major, so he was no mug. It was his factory, and we went and stripped his machines out.
Yeah.
We were there a week altogether down in London.
You used to get back a bit on the job then?
Well, you see, Oakes's, they had several different firms. They had that Trent Gravel at Attenborough, that belonged to them. Then they got three clay holes of birchwood. That's where they made the first big, because it used to be like on pipe yard, as you know, the clay hole. But they used to get brick, clay and all lot out of there. But then they moved to Birchwood. That was before I started. Oh. They went to Birchwood. It would be somewhere around about 1930, I would say, or 30, 31, something like that, when they moved in there. And then they also, when they see a chemist come, he started same time as me at Oakes's. We went all round here, and they found a different clay that he could mix, one at Shearland and one at Wessington. The Wessington one, they'd never sell it. They'd only sell us clay. So they had to pay for each lorry load or whatever of clay has come out of there from Wessington. Shearland, they did. They bought the quarry. And at the time, as you know, they were doing outcropping, and everywhere wanted outcropping at that time. And they'd been outcrop there at Shearland. And this fella had owned the ground, they insisted on him buying it. Well, all he wanted was a clause after they'd finished and reclaimed the land. He wanted the first chance to buy it back. And he made the biggest mistake of his life, because they'd outcropped just below him, and they'd outcropped topside him, and they tested his ground and there was nothing there. So they thought, well, not enough to make it viable. And we went up, our joiners then, when that happened. And that was like when I went back after war, and we went, me and labourers they'd got, and we put the gates up to this here new quarry at Sherland. Then we had to pull the cabin up and ready for setting in. And do you know, I'm not going to swear to date, but it was something like on a Tuesday when we went and put these gate posts in and opened gate and made it secure. And on the Friday, they moved in, and even we had the cabin and they moved the machine in. And on the Friday, there were coal coming down to the pipe yard.
Mm-hmm.
So that bloke ate the coal. The first lot, as you know, they run down in seams, as, and the first lot, it were almost on surface.
Yeah.
You know, they just took the skimming off, the topsoil off, and piled it up. And I say, within 3 days, the first load of coal were coming down to the pipe yard. And they got it then for God knows how many years, long, long after I'd left. Join us.
Oh, did you bad out of that then?
He played a blinder, didn't he? Yeah. Mind you, he had to pay, I think at the time, they had to pay coal board £1 a ton because they claimed all mineral rights or something like that. I think they had to pay £1 a ton, but oh, God, it were a gift for them.
Yeah.
Talk about money to money.
Did Oxford ever come round? Did you ever meet any on a regular?
In the first...
I mean, they didn't live far away, did they, from there?
No, they lived at Ferry, Oaks's. They never lived in this... They built it for Oaks's, and an Oaks family lived in it for years and years, before my time.
Well, at Riddins.
At Riddins Hall. They built it, they built that. They built Newlands across there. That's another biggish house. And then they built Ollier, what they call Ollier. That's down Spring Road at Riddins, down here.
Yeah.
That's down now, that's been pulled down. And they were all Oaks's, they were all built for different branches.
Yeah.
But Oaks, Odwin himself, as far as I know, he never lived in Hall, always lived at Felly.
Yeah.
Felly Priory. But how they came down, Nana, well, once one good Friday, we'd got, because I mean, most of your work on maintenance were done when everybody else were holiday and like. I mean, we'd got quite a biggish job on in blacksmiths. It was one good Friday, and we were stuck into this here work. There'd be about 8 of us, I think, because I was shop lad. I was carrying tea can about like that. Oaks turned up, and he was very religious. He sent us all on. He didn't hesitate, and he played hell up with working on Good Friday.
Yeah.
So of course we had to make it up. But he sent us. We'd turned in. I don't know what time. We'd been there probably 3 or 4 hours when he turned up. He sent us on. He was a little bit too aloof for most of us, but you know, before the war, he bought an estate in Scotland, Skipness, it's the place called. It's about 150 miles from Glasgow. He lived quite a lot of his time up there. Now and again, he'd come back down, and he used to send his he'd got a Rolls Royce, and it were Holden, but it were nice. He used to send it down on train, and they'd stop the train for him in Pybridge station, and then they just fetch it from there. It was a massive estate, that was, but we nearly got there, to be honest, from joiners. The first thing we had to do for him, there were blacksmiths, but our joiners at the time, and he bought 2 Bren gun carriers.
Crikey.
Oaks did. And he turned the fittings ripped out as regards war machines, and we made him like open-topped observation and you know, so put seats all around this here, this here thing. And then they were the original cockpit for driving and all that. And of course, there were tracks, and he wanted them for going all over this here
estate
job. And it, when he had house parties and things like that, that's what he wanted them for. So of course, we had that one little job, but with nothing to do, we were there. But when they wanted a lot of fencing doing, and they were going to send two on us, and I was going to be one of them. That right at Joiner's shop, they beat us to it from estate yard. We'd got it all planned and what we were going to do. We were going to be there a month. Of course, we were going to be able to put what time in we liked, which were fair enough, because there was nothing to do, apparently. Anyhow, it was estate yard as far as they landed that one. So they did a right on it. Yeah. Then, of course, that's where Oakes died.
Yeah.
That tells you about that, didn't it? When he had fire and...
They were a big family, weren't they?
Oh, they were. But you see, Oakes had got... I tell you who we used to have, blacksmith now and again. It was his sister, I think, Peggy Oakes. I only remember vaguely. She always used to come on horseback. She'd come from Felly.
Yeah.
And she used to come to blacksmith for bits and job. I don't think we ever shoed it. We used to shoe horses like, but I don't think we ever shoed hair of it. I think she valued it too much. But you know, at Birchwood, they got two cart horses for pulling the what they used to call over burden. They dig it with machine, and then they cart it round from wherever they were digging and on rails, and they always used to work it so that the full wagons would go on their own. We used to make them big brakes, wooden brakes. The chap was doing that job, he'd hang on to that and keep it so that it didn't get running away. And then they used to use these two cart horses for pulling empty wagons back up to the spot. Then they had, I think that was before war. It'd be when I was in as a lad, it was. And they bought about 8 or 9 Polish horses. I think they might have been bred for pit ponies, because they were small compared to these two carters. But we used to shoe all them, these two carters and that. But that were all Jack Ward's domain, like they were down from blacksmithing. Yeah. Brilliant.
Oh, you had a variety of jobs, didn't you?
Well, I can't say that I didn't enjoy it, because I did. I even enjoyed Kilgang. But, of course, I think I was 29 when I went in Kilgang, and most folks, when they went in, there were some went in older than me. Generally, they'd be younger. And I hadn't been used to that type of work. We'd been in joiners. It played hell out with me. I stuck it for 25 years.
You didn't do bad then, Bob.
No, but the early on, the first thing I had two ruptures.
Oh, that's no matter. No wonder when you're umping stuff around.
Well, it were these pipes, these 12-inch pipes. They were, you see, you had to manhandle them.
You want
over 12-inch, you got what they used to call a dandy. Like a two-wheeled dandy, it used to slide underneath a plate. That's how he used to bring them into the kiln.
Yeah.
But up to 12s, you used to pin two 12s on your barra. We used to have what you call a long barra and a billy barra. Billy barra were for, like, just got a front on it for growing pipe, and long barra were for setting. And they had got like a palliasse on it, because I mean they're only white hard, you know, they break easy. And up to 12 inch, and there were them, and what they used to call six ways, that were, they were like conduits, mostly for post office and an electric board. They used to use them, but post office mostly, for putting cables underground. And six ways, they were a sod, they were solid things, and you had to sort of lift them off. But the 12 inch, they were on a pleat, and with, when we got them, see, when they came off the machine, they'd go in, they'd take them in the machine with the socket standing up, and then during that time while they were drying in drying sheds, there'd be another chap, and he only still lives up here. He's about 92, Joe Vickers. He used to turn them over, but he'd got a proper dandy thing. He used to run this dandy up to his pipe. He got two forks, and then it was balanced to a point where he could pull it over, and then he'd bring it down onto the floor and tip it back up.
Yeah.
So by the time we got them, the socket was on the floor, another ring, but for all that, it was on the floor. Yeah. And for us to get them, you used to have to put your foot on that plate and bring it, and of course they were white hard, you couldn't sort of grab them and chuck them anywhere because they'd break.
You
used to bring them over, and you used to bring them onto your knees, and then when you got them onto your knees, you roll them up your stomach like that to get it onto your barrow, and you had to put your foot, two of them, they were, because your barrow were like, it'd be this long, you'd got your spigot of your pipe there against your hands, and a socket, spigot, and a socket would be hanging perhaps that far over front of your barrow.
Yeah.
Went in, you go into your kill, and to get, when you got them off, you sort of spun them round onto you, and then you'd get under it and chuck them for your setter. Your setter would sort of get out at spigot, and he'd bring them up onto his, he didn't carry them on his shoulder, he carried them like that, and they'd, that ring had to be pretty tall, because you'd, by the time you went too deep with them, if you went three deep with them, they used to carry them up steps.
Crikey.
I mean, and we used to be, we only used to get paid for burnt. Well, the burnt weight and the white hard weight would be probably 10% more.
Yeah.
Your burnt weight were 10% less.
Yeah.
Because they paid us a lot less, least price. But when he was putting that, when he was setting, then he used to have to ease it up like that. And then when he went three, he did have to have it on his shoulder then, and he'd go up steps about that high.
That'd be difficult.
So he had to be a big fella.
Yeah.
That's what Pete Robinson, he were pretty hefty, but that's it. I mean, they got a lot more money, but then again, you're dependent on your setter.
Yeah.
Because if he wasn't very good, and you did get some poor ones. In fact, they all had to go through a phase of where they used to go over, where kills used to go over.
Yeah.
And then, because it used to hold you about no end when you got to sort of
hack
them out.
Did you get paid for them?
We got paid the tonnage, but if you'd got a kill that would got over, it'd take you probably, we could draw a kill, normally, you'd draw a kill in about, you'd start at 7, and we used to go off for break at 9:30. Sometimes you'd still got a few to fetch out, but you could say, if you started work again at 9:45,
you could
reckon by, you'd be expected to be drawn by 9:45.
Yeah.
Then it just take you a lot longer to set.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, by the 9:45, we'd drawn perhaps 18-19 ton a kill.
Some weight that, Bob.
When you shift it, it was hard work. And setting was harder than ever, but for the simple reason that most of your pipes, your big pipes were always on floor, on ground floor, but of course the big pipe used to use your big pipes, what you used to call walling off.
Yeah.
Well, you used to put like a back wall in of probably two big pipes side by side and come up so far, then you'd put a wall there and a wall there. And then you'd fill it with 4-inch and 6-inch or junctions, anything like that. All your small stuff were on second floor.
Right.
And there were no lifts.
No.
It were all done by slopes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I joined us, we used to eat the wooden smokes then when Harriet joined us, and that was a regular job of ours, was to, because they used to make, used to be softwood planks, because they used to use 9 or 11 by 3s or something like that, and they got steel shoes on your, you've got steel shoes on your long barrow. Mm. You see, for when you come down that slope, you just have to put all your weight on that. You'd eat fat, you'd lie like that with feet off the floor.
Yeah.
And so it, when it were wood, when they were wooden slopes, it used to gouge a groove in there. Not every week, of course, but it was regular job. And then we used to, in pump joiners, we should go in and take them planks up and tear them over. So they got finishing up, they decided that were too dear a job for doing that. And so what we did, we took the planks up, cut them into slices, other road, put them that road.
Yeah.
And then they concreted on top. Well, you imagine when you're coming down with a steel shoe on your barrow, and you've got, I mean, they're always, you always used to reckon on 8 barrows ton.
Mm.
That's what we used to think, you know, so you got 2.5 hundred weight on each barrow.
Yeah.
Well, you imagine 2.5 hundred weight, and your weight and all, and on a steel shoe, you know, they used to go down like hell.
Yeah.
And especially when we used to get frost and you didn't risk it with frost.
No.
So you had to get all that salt as they used for salt glaze.
Yeah.
Some on it used to go all on slope, and but even wet weather, it used to put a certain amount of slippiness on it. It were horrible when you think about it. And it were really,
anyway, Bob. If I want to come back any time, I'm all right.
Well, you'll have another session. But
thank you very much. That's very interesting.